There is a picture that first hung on the wall in one of my office at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Little Rock. It's like this one, and I'll explain that in just a moment. It's like this one. It wasn't this particular one. That office in Little Rock was the first office I ever had where I had more than a desk and a chair. Y'all have a lovely office for your pastor here, a couch and a couple of chairs, a comfortable office to work in. But every other office, I didn't have that. But at St. Paul, there were two desks. There was a big desk and a credenza. Doesn't that sound fancy? A credenza. And I had that office in such a way there were a couple of chairs and matching lamps and built-in bookcases. I'd never seen anything like that before. It's a great office there at St. Paul as well. I put the desks together so that they would kind of be in an L shape. The credenza had my computer on it, and there was the other desk faced the rest of the room. Now, also given there in the church and for the pastor's office were two pieces of artwork. I can't tell you anything about one of them, but I can tell you about the other one. It's this one. I'll describe it in just a minute. I put that picture over the credenza so that when I wrote sermons, I always kind of looked up at Jesus calming the storm there. 7 years later, when I was leaving that church after 7 years as their pastor, I started boxing up the office, right? Putting my books in boxes and all my belongings from the desk into boxes and started to move those, put those out in the car. And I looked up at that painting, choir, I looked up at that painting, and I said, you know, if I wasn't the kind of preacher who talked about being honest all the time, I could kind of lift that off its nail and put it in the back of my car and take it to Sheridan where I would be next. But I am the kind of preacher who is honest, at least most, yeah, all the time, right? And so I left it there, and it didn't go with me to Sheridan. I left it for my successor to enjoy. When I arrived in Sheridan, there was a desk and a chair and built-in bookcases. It was a nice office too, but nothing on the walls. So early in my ministry there, I preached from this passage of Scripture, and I told the story of this painting. I described it. Let me describe it for you too. Feel free after worship today, if you'd like, to come up and take a closer look. In the boat are 13 people. Can you imagine? 13 people in one boat. One of them is Jesus. The other 12 are the disciples. In the portrait, in the picture, Jesus has just spoken to the storm. His hands are raised, and the storm is retreating. In the background, over here in the left-hand corner, you can see lightning bolts that are still there, and a boat also there in view. One of the disciples is holding up the sail that has just endured what the New International Version calls a furious squall. A furious squall is what that calls it. Another disciple is laying down with his head on the boat. The rest of the disciples look like they have just been through, well, a storm, right? You can see the fear in their eyes. At the bottom of the picture, the bottom of this picture too, are these words. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, I didn't steal this. Are y'all with me? On one of my last Sundays at Sheridan, good friends of mine, Peggy and J.N. Ski, came to my office, and they gave me this one so that I could take it with me. It belonged to me. And it hung on my wall when I moved to Paragould. And it hung on my wall when I moved to Batesville. And it hung on my wall when I moved to Springdale. And now here it is, ready to be hung on the wall in my office again. I love this painting because I love the story. Let's take a closer look today. Most of you know we're in a series of sermons that we're simply calling Questions Jesus Asked. Last Sunday I told you that telling stories, parables, and asking questions are two ways that Jesus did a lot of his teaching ministry. I told you last week that if you count all the questions that Jesus asked in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they number 305. That's a lot of questions, right? Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospel, which means similar gospels. They tell the story of Jesus a little bit differently. So if you take out the duplicate questions, still he asks 150 questions. That's a lot of questions. Last week, we looked at how he was outside of Caesarea Philippi. That was the setting. So much energy, so much stuff going on in Caesarea Philippi, so many idols, so much noise. And Jesus turns back and he asks the question, you remember, where he says, what's the word on the street? What are people saying about me? And they answer. And then he turns back and he says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? You all did your homework, right? Right? The homework was, answer that question for yourself. Who is Jesus to you? Today, the setting is very different. It's not outside of a busy city like Caesarea Philippi. It's on the Sea of Galilee. In our story today, Jesus and the disciples get in a boat after a full day of teaching, after a full day of healing. When the sun is starting to set, Jesus suggests, let's go across to the other side. Now, the other side, of course, is of the Sea of Galilee. Let me give you a few facts about that body of water. It would have been, now we think of sea, right, like ocean. We might think of it more like lake. In fact, one of the gospel writers at times calls it the Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, same body of water. It would encompass 64 square miles. At its deepest, it was 150 feet. If you were going from one side to the other, the closest way that you could do that, from one side to the other, it would have taken you 2 hours. No motorboats, right? Sails and paddles, choir. Another, if you went from the farthest point to the other farthest point, would have taken you 5 hours. Are y'all with me? And storms on the Sea of Galilee were famous for blowing in real quickly. The mountains around it created a little bit of a fishbowl. So can you imagine being in the boat when this storm suddenly appears? Take on the role of a disciple. Imagine that you're talking about what's been going on, what Jesus has been teaching, how he's been healing. And all of a sudden you notice Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, in the stern. That's when the storm hit. At some point across those waters, a furious squall blows in. The wind began to shake the boat. The waves that were supposed to be outside the boat were coming inside the boat, right? And remember, four of the disciples were fishermen. They had fished on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, right? They had been through storms. This must have been one heck of a storm to scare them too. And when all this was going on, they were fighting the wind, they were fighting the waves, when suddenly someone wondered, where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? May I ask you this morning, have you ever been in a storm? Maybe on a water, or maybe there's been a storm brewing inside of you, a fear storm, a doubt storm, something like that. It feels like a furious squall, and you have wondered, where is Jesus? Those in the boat go back to where Jesus is, and they wake him, and they say to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I want you to notice something here, if you would. Notice what they call him. They call him teacher. They don't call him Lord. They don't call him Savior. They don't call him Messiah. They call him teacher. Because four chapters in, that's who they think he is, just a teacher. In a moment, they're going to know so much more. So the disciples say, "Teacher, don't you care for us the way that you cared for the man who you gave sight to again? Don't you care for us the way that you cared for the man who was lame and you gave him the ability to walk again?" If you don't hear anything else today, church, I want you to hear this. Jesus cares. Amen? Jesus cares. So I imagine in my mind's eye seeing Jesus wake up, maybe wipe the sleep from his eyes, and before he says a word to the disciples, he says a word to the storm. And he says to the storm, "Peace, be still." Now, Mark tells us the winds calmed. In fact, Mark writes that there was a dead calm. The storm is retreating. The skies are clearing. And that's when Jesus asked the question. Actually, he asked two questions. I want to focus on the first. Why are you afraid? Now, I made a mistake on this passage many, many times. I think. I've always, at this point in a sermon, thought, what are we afraid of? We heard some of our kids up here, right? Storms, dark, monsters. We're afraid of all those things when we're kids, right? But that's not what the passage really asks. That's not Jesus asks. He doesn't ask, what are you afraid of? He says, why are you afraid? And then he follows it up with, have you still no faith? Now, go back with me for just a moment to that storm. I want to say three things about storms. Would that be okay? Three things. Here are three things I've noticed about storms. First, some storms, like the one on the Sea of Galilee, blow in quickly, right? They come out of nowhere, not like the hurricane. We knew it was coming for days and weeks. Some all of a sudden are on top of us. And if it's a storm that is inside of you, you might say the similar thing. I didn't see this coming. I had no idea that was going to happen. I just saw him yesterday. He seemed fine to me. So first, I want you to hear that some storms come quickly. Amen? Here's the second thing I want you to hear. Storms take over. They take over. They take over every part, every aspect of your life. When you're in a storm, it's hard to sleep, right? When you're in a storm, you can't really think. It's hard to work. Believe me, I've been in some storms. And they take over. They take over every part of your life. But here's the good news. Are you ready for number three? All storms end. They all end. There's not a storm now that's been going for a decade or 100 years. They come in, they blow with all their energy, and then they blow out. They end. Jesus asked, ask you, ask me, why are you afraid? It's a faith question. You see, in the middle of that storm on the Sea of Galilee, where was Jesus? He's right there in the boat with them, wasn't he? Asleep. What I want you to hear today in the midst of your storm, the things that scare you, whether it be hurricanes or tornadoes or faith storms or doubt storms, whatever it is, I want you to hear this today. Jesus is right there with you. Amen? Amen? Amen. I read this quote. I wish I could find the author. I would give him proper credit. But it's a good quote. Listen to this. We don't need to tell God how big our storms are. We need to tell our storms how big our God is. Can I say that again? We don't need to tell God how big our storms are. We need to tell our storms how big our God is. So peace, Be still, storm. May Jesus still the storms in your life and in my life, no matter how bad they seem. Peace. Be still.